Welcome back to Community Corner Podcast, Personal Finance Edition. This is Rashmi, and I'm joined by my co-host, Olivia.
Today, we're going to be going into a relatively niche and controversial topic, cryptocurrency. Founded in 2009, Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency and is still the most commonly traded. The currency was developed by Satoshi Nakamoto.
So, cryptocurrency is a digital or virtual currency which is using cryptography for security.
It's not really controlled by any central authority, meaning any government or financial institution, and it's not like traditional money printed out only by the government. Several different companies are the ones that are actually selling this currency.
Yeah, this is actually kind of weird because, like you said, traditional money is only printed by the government, which gives it that authenticity. So that makes cryptocurrency a little more dangerous, don't you think?
Yeah, because cryptocurrency isn't regulated by the government. There's no overarching regulations on who can make cryptocurrency, and there's different types of cryptocurrencies as well, and they're all a separate currency, like a different type of money, but they're an investment option, not something that you really buy things with, although you could, right?
Yeah, so from my knowledge, cryptocurrency is not at the point where you can trade in for actual items. I've read a little bit about how people use it for real estate, but that's not as much as common as it is now. So I don't think cryptocurrency is really at that point in time where you can actually use it to trade things just because of how volatile it is. And there's actually different types of cryptocurrencies. Want to go more into that a little?
Yeah, so the most common is obviously Bitcoin, which is BTC. A lot of people know about it. It's the first and most well-known cryptocurrency, but there are other types as well.
Yeah, so there's Ethereum, which is known for like its smart contract functionality, and there's also altcoins, where it's other cryptocurrencies besides Bitcoin and Ethereum, like Litecoin, Ripple, and so many more. And this kind of goes back to how we're talking about there's so many different types of cryptocurrencies, which is really hard to keep track of, and it's probably not the best way to invest because it's just so volatile. It's not like stocks where like it's insured by the government, it's regulated by the government. This is just a completely different realm.
Yeah, and one of the biggest concerns people have is related to that. People are concerned about their privacy when they buy cryptocurrencies because it's not something you can physically hold on. Like, sure, you could put your money onto a credit or a debit card, but you can still go to the bank and cash out for it. Right. But cryptocurrency, it's like, it feels like it's in the air because it's an online currency.
Yeah, exactly. And regarding the data privacy, there is a lot of initiatives and rules set in place for maintaining data privacy. This doesn't mean that I'm encouraging cryptocurrency though, but there's a method called blockchain, which is a distributed ledger or database that has structured and sequential lists or like blocks of transaction. So if you bought something, it'll show that you bought it. And then if you buy another thing, it links to that basically. And it shows you everything that you've bought in to show that it's you that's buying it and no one else is like making it up that you're buying these things. And so basically each new list has like the fingerprint of the previous list, which links them into like this chain, which I think is pretty smart.
Yeah, there's a lot that you could go into about technology and how cryptocurrencies have evolved to actually be a functioning investment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also like they use wallets like, well, figurative wallets. They're not actual wallets, which kind of goes back to what you said. There's no sense of going to the bank and cashing them in. It's so digital, which me personally kind of irks me off a little bit. I like having some sort of thing to hold to, knowing that it's actually in a safe and secured place.
Yeah, that's the thing with cryptocurrency. It feels like the currency of the future because it's all digital. Although there are risks that come with that and that come with not being able to actually hold on to your physical money, because what if the cryptocurrency company crashes and then suddenly all of the money you've been using for all this time, all of your crypto is just gone?
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, as we go through this conversation a little bit more, you'll see that actually the companies don't actually insure the money that you have invested in. If you lose your wallet, that's it. It's over. You don't have your money, which is why it's such a risky move to invest in this, because there's no insurance. There's not like that $250,000 worth of insurance money from the bank. It's just gone. Do you want to go into a little bit about the types of wallets that they use in cryptocurrency?
Sure. So there's multiple different types, and one of them, or the main differentiator of the different types of wallets, is non-custodial versus custodial accounts. So non-custodial accounts are where you take responsibility for securing your keys, and custodial accounts are hosted by a third party that stores your keys for you. So you might be wondering what I mean when I say keys. Private keys are how you access your money, because nobody else can access your wallet without that key.
Exactly, and that kind of goes back to the data privacy aspect of it. They do really make sure that your information is as secure as possible through these keys. If someone ends up having that private key, well, that's kind of on you, but you really have that. It's kind of like a fingerprint. That's kind of what the private key is. And kind of adding on to that, they're also more like subtopics under that non-custodial and custodial wallets, which is hot wallet and cold wallet. So hot wallet is when it's connected to the internet, which is probably the least safe option because you don't want your data kind of floating around everywhere, but the cold wallet is not connected.
Yeah, and then there's also software wallets, which are installed on a desktop or a laptop computer and can access your cryptocurrency, make transactions, display your balance, and so much more on that computer, whereas hardware wallets, which are the most popular type of wallet, are ones where you can store your private keys and remove them from your device. So they're kind of like a USB drive, which you can put in from one laptop to your phone or something like that.
Exactly. And I think the hardware wallet are definitely the most safer ones. I think a combination of a hardware wallet and a cold wallet, which is a thing. You can have different combinations of things. So a hardware cold wallet is probably the most ideal one because it's not connected to the internet. No one can kind of hack into the Wi-Fi. And it's also a USB drive. It's not like you can just find the password to your computer and find all the information.
Exactly. And you definitely want to have a wallet that you can take with you and move around, because if your laptop crashes and, like we mentioned, it's not insured, your crypto is gone and all of your money in that investment is gone. So we might not be financial advisors, but personally, if we were to invest in crypto, we'd probably get a hardware wallet for ourselves.
For sure. Honestly, me personally, I don't think I would even go near this realm. I just think it's too risky for it's also relatively new. Even though it was started in 2009, it's still in the 2000s, and it's definitely has a long way to go. We're going to go into FTX soon in our following episodes and kind of learn about how easily crypto can go wrong. And so that's kind of what I personally think about cryptocurrency. But something that's interesting is there's these things called seed words. And these are 12-word mnemonic seed phrases where you can use the phrase to restore the wallet if you ever lose, like, that device, which is pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, there's similar types of things for accounts, for social media, and those types of things where you put in a couple words when you make your account, and then if you lose it, it's kind of like resetting your password as long as you know those few key phrases. But then that still feels to me very risky, because it is possible that someone that knows you relatively well would be able to guess what your seed words are and gain access to your cryptocurrency.
True. And I think that, like, you're talking about social media accounts, those are usually just, like, questions. It's like, what's your favorite food? And then you answer them. But the interesting part about seed words is that it could be any combination of words. So because it's 12 words specifically, and it could be any type of, like, any word you can use, you can say, like, cat, airplane, radio, and, like, something else. And you just, it's really hard to guess those type of things because it could be in any other order. So in that sense, it's definitely safe. But like you said, if people know you really well, they may have a high chance of figuring it out.
Yeah. And it also falls upon you then to remember that, or else you'll lose everything.
Yeah. And you don't really want to write those type of things down either. So that's a little bit risky.
Yeah. But the biggest risk for me is that there's no regulation, because cryptocurrencies aren't tied to a government. There's no government regulation over them. Mm-hmm. And they're uninsured usually and hard to convert into tangible currency, US dollars, euros, whatever you want. It's hard to get that. You can't go into a bank and say, here's my crypto, give me cash for it. All you can do is really buy and sell them on a crypto app.
Exactly. I guess that kind of goes to show how, like, new these things are. Like, if you're not able to trade this in for money, it really isn't the most ideal crypto or currency to be using. And also, like, this currency is very influenced by just the supply and demand, investor and user sentiments, and even just media hype, which aren't really the best factors to base cryptocurrency off of, but that's kind of how this works. And that's why crypto is so volatile.
Yeah, it feels to me as though cryptocurrency has become sort of a joke. I have my economics teacher who will say as a joke every time somebody starts gazing off in class, are you thinking about the price of Bitcoin and go up with the random number, which changes so much from day to day, that's just thrown me off.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely something that I just think that cryptocurrency is super volatile, which is definitely why I think you and I don't really think we're going to invest in cryptocurrency anytime soon. But I can definitely see the potential in the future as we're obviously in the digital age. So this might be something interesting to kind of go back to in the future and talk about and see if there's any future changes that have occurred.
Yeah, so thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Community Corner Podcast, Personal Finance Edition, where we had a little inquiry on what cryptocurrency is. Thanks for tuning in. This is Olivia and Rashmi.
Cashing off.